Well, let us turn our attention to Ephesians chapter 5. We're starting on a new section. Of course, it's all the theme, surrounding the theme. And as we look at the passages that we've dealt with, always remember this. We are a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great privilege we have. And as we always try to say it in the same breath, basically, we have a tremendous obligation as well. Unto whom much is given, much is required. So we got to remember that as we think about these particular evidences of those who are not only believers. Remember, the context is giving glory to God through His church. So each member, we are especially responsible. But we see that in verse 8 of chapter 5, there's a phrase that I want to use as a springboard, if you will. It talks about, "But now are ye light in the Lord." We want to entitle this message, "Light in the Lord." We know that the scriptures tell us that the Lord is called an everlasting light. And there in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 19, He's our light and our salvation. As it says in Psalms 27 and verse 1, Christ, who is our Savior, is referred to being the light of the world. His word is called in Psalms 119:105. It is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And being a child of God involves partaking of and reflecting God as our light, radiating His glory. And so we have the term light in the Lord. Well, the previous section that we dealt with was walking in love. Now we see walking in light. And these are all part of the description that's found in that first verse of chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God. Being a follower of God means walking in love, and it means walking in the light, or as children of light. And because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and only because of that can we love one another. And because the light of God is shed abroad in our hearts, we are light in the Lord. We can walk in the light. And so these principles that come from everyday life, light, love, walking, it makes it easy for us to relate to, right? Because we've had experiences with life and with light and so on. But that doesn't mean that it's easy to apply them or assimilate them in our lives. But those of us who are light in the Lord, it is definitely doable. It's not only doable, but also it will be done to the extent that it describes who we really are. We're called light in the Lord, right? That's what it says right there. So it's going to characterize who we really are when we're light in the Lord. Without light, there can be no life. Without light, there can be no love. Without light, there's nothing but death and darkness. And so we see how essential. This isn't a non-essential here. This is very essential, as in all of God's Word, but you can see it from the metaphor that Paul employs as the Spirit of God inspires him to write this. Now, this is something vitally important. You know, there's a I wonder what fear of light means. What is that? It's a phobia. It's called photophobia. And it is a condition that its symptoms include an abnormal intolerance to the visual perception of light, accompanied with discomfort or pain in the eyes due to light exposure. Photophobia. But then you have another that's sometimes confused with photophobia. It's called heliophobia. And heliophobia is a condition that is an abnormal, irrational fear of light. In other words, it's something that's just psychological. They won't go out in the sun and all these kinds of things. They're afraid of light. It appears that we have this kind of condition that is at epidemic proportions in our society. They're afraid of the light. They don't want... They run! You know, if they see somebody with a Bible in their hand and are about they see them coming to their door, they run! They don't answer the door! They're afraid of the light. Fear is usually responded... What do people do when they're afraid? Well, a common way to describe it is they either fight or they take flight, one of the two. Sometimes they ignore you and try to just, you know, don't want anything to do with you, try to avoid you as much as possible. And then there's others. Or maybe they're cornered or whatever it is. And they're in the situation and they have to deal with you. And eventually they fight you. They fight you in some one way or another with arguments, verbal arguments or body language, you know, just nasty and scowling and all that kind of stuff. But the natural man would rather be in the night of nonsense and ignorance. To have minds of midnight, to be in the darkness of evil, and perform deeds of darkness. The unspiritual man desires to be in the dark about anything regarding the true light, Jesus Christ. You know when we first saw the light of day? It's not when we were born physically. We first saw the light of day when we saw the true light of Jesus Christ there in John 1:9. When we were born again and the change had occurred that was as different as a night is from the day, as different as a darkness is from the light. It says there in 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, we want to look at four things here. The first thing we want to look at is the light of the Lord walking. Secondly, the light of the Lord proving. Thirdly, the light of the Lord reproving. And then lastly, the light of the Lord arising. So let's look at, first of all, the light in the Lord walking. It's got shoe leather with it, you see. It's something that involves some action, not just mere words. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, verse 8. Walk as children of the light. Darkness used to characterize a child of God, but we've been saved by grace. We've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And now light typifies our life, not darkness. You ever fumbled around in the dark? Stubbed your toe and bumped into things, busted your head, or whatever may have happened? And weren't you glad when you finally found the flashlight or found the light switch and the light was turned on? Well, that's what we ought to, when we think about where God has brought us out of, He's brought us out of the darkness and into the light. We ought to have a measure of joy expressed in our lives. And, you know, the people ought to see it. It doesn't mean we aren't ever sorrowful, but we're to be sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Because we are light in the Lord. That's just what it is. There's something supernatural about this light in us. That those kinds of things happen. Aren't you glad that happens? Because, I mean, how would we like to be like the world and moan and groan and mope and complain and always, you know, it's like, that's the way the world is. I don't want to go back to that. And yes, we find ourselves sometimes, don't we, in being that way. But praise God, He gives us grace to typify being those who are children of light. We ought to, because we're light in the Lord, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness in times past. It was the way we were. Our entire being was in darkness. It wasn't just a part of us. We were active participants in advancing Satan's purposes. We were duped and we were blinded by the God of this world and the powers of darkness. It doesn't matter how outwardly moral we were. It doesn't matter how pleasant our personality might have been outwardly. Inwardly, we had polluted, corruptible, sinful thoughts and intentions. And Jesus said, that's enough to damn you to hell. And so thankfully, God worked a work of grace in our hearts. Before God delivers us from sin, we were walking in darkness on our way to damnation, which is the wages of our sin. You know, I mean, you look at the world today. The world is full of darkness and wickedness and confusion and corruption. It's evident not only to us as believers, but unbelievers recognize it today. Don't they? They recognize it. That the world is full of this. The deception, the lying, the stealing, the immorality, the murder, and more proves the fact that this world is in darkness. They talk about the age of enlightenment and evolving into better beings. We haven't changed, really. We haven't. We've got some neat little gadgets and advanced in knowledge, but we're still sinful. Everything we touch, even you know, the natural man is going to corrupt because our deeds are evil. You may have heard this illustration. I've heard it a bunch of times down through the years. Where it originated, I don't know. But you imagine some people who lived underground all their lives. Lived underground all their lives, and they're digging tunnels here, and it's going nowhere, just more and more darkness. They dig tunnels over there, and they try all these different ways. Their eyes are wide open, but they can't see. And then, let's just say one of them went and they punctured through the darkness and they saw the light. And that light hurt their eyes and they began to wonder whether that's really such a good idea or not. And besides, it exposed their filthy rags. It wasn't good for their self-esteem, and so many times people just crawl back into the dark hole that they've been living all their lives. It takes God's sovereign act of mercy and grace to cause a person to be, to receive sight so that they may see. There are people who are walking around. They may even come to church and be exposed to the light. Their eyes are wide open, but they can't see it. They are in darkness. They're blinded by the god of this world. But now, it says, are ye light in the Lord? A great change has happened. It's a great contrast between light and total darkness. You ever been in those situations? There's a big, huge change. Our lives should give off that kind of contrast in comparison to the world. To the point to where the world realizes, hey, you're different than most people I see around. There's something different about you. You're not like the others around. This is a present tense. Of course, that's understandable. Now, are you light in the Lord? It's present. It's something that is always going to be shining. Now, it doesn't mean that our light sometimes doesn't flicker, or that sometimes our light fades. I mean, how does it fade? Well, there's different ways. You know how you put shades on a lamp, right? Okay, that fades the light a little bit. And we can put lampshades on. And the scriptures talk about covering our light with a bushel basket. Now, that kind of extreme covering of the light cannot happen very long. Why not? Because the oxygen will disappear. And there's no more way in which that light can keep going. There's no more oxygen to fuel that fire. So, what does that teach us? It teaches us, though a child of God can cover the light and people not notice, it won't be very long. It can't be very long. We're always going to have our lapses, right? Like Peter. We have Peter moments, right? And we deny the Lord. Well, it wasn't very long till Peter had godly sorrow. And Peter repented. And he shined the light more brightly than he ever had, really, in his case. So, you know, I was reading some kind of research about how that only 20% of a typical church membership is actively and consistently engaged in church work. This article also says that the typical pastor won't address the issue because it causes problems. But the problem is, if a pastor does not deal with problems, those issues will come out sooner or later, eventually. It will fester and come out. It's better to deal with it before it becomes a big problem than to allow it to fester. Difficult times bring out either the worst or the best in us. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." In Matthew 5:14. Why? Jesus said he's the light of the world. Why are we the light of the world? Because we're reflecting his glory. We now have the nature of Jesus Christ in us. We have his nature. We're partakers of Christ's nature. And so it makes sense, right? That we are light of the world. So now that verse concludes by saying, walk as children of light. Again, we can have our moments. I understand that. But one thing, and for instance, in 1 John 2:9, it says, he that saith he is in the light, we can easily say a lot of things, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. If there's hatred, and it continues, and it continues, and there is no repentance, that person is not saved. That's just the way it is. That's the Lord speaking. Not me or anybody else. It doesn't matter what I say or anybody. It's what the Lord says. It's more than just simply saying, I love you, brother, or I love you, sister. There's some action involved. Walk as children of light. And we'll see just how challenging that is. We're to walk as children of light because we are light in the Lord. So now secondly, the light in the Lord proving. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. This is the evidence, the proof, the proving. Whether they are light in the Lord or not. For the fruit of the Spirit is. When we're born of the Holy Spirit, we have fruit. That's what it talks about, the fruit of the Spirit. What is this fruit? And as I mentioned many times, it is one fruit. It's not fruits. Every child of God is going to have these characteristics in their lives. They may not be as pronounced in another person, and then that other person may have a more pronounced element of a fruit than another. Okay? It's just like the color of a fruit. One may be a more pleasant color than the other one. But this one may be sweeter to the taste than that one. You know what I'm saying? Same fruit, but different elements of that fruit. So, that fruit is described for us in great detail in Galatians 5:22. It says, beginning in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's number one. Joy. That's number two. Peace. These things ought to really be coming out. Long-suffering, in other words, patience. Gentleness. Goodness. That's one of the ones that are actually mentioned in this text in Ephesians. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, I notice there's nothing in there about tithing. Nothing in there about being baptized. None of those kinds of things. I wonder why. Why is that not mentioned in Ephesians? It doesn't mean they're not important. I'm not saying that. It's because those kinds of things are easy to fake. You can go through outward motions. But these three that are mentioned in our text are things that when they're consistently done, it's a strong evidence that it is for real. All this being baptized, confessing Christ publicly, faithful in attendance, that can be done outwardly. So let's look at the first one. All goodness. That word is agathonousoune, which is simply means honorableness. All goodness. And the interesting thing about this word, it is a word that means sacrificially giving. It's kind of like love, right? Sacrificial. Agape love is sacrificial. This is sacrificial serving. That's what it means. Sacrificially giving of ourselves. That's one thing to give of abundance that we already have. But when we sacrificially give. That's an evident token. And of course, this goodness is, again, one of those elements of the fruit of the Spirit. But then it goes on to say, and righteousness, derived, first of all, from the imputed righteousness of Christ. We have righteousness only because, and the only way that we can exhibit any kind of righteousness is because of the righteousness that we have imputed to us through Jesus Christ. Now, it says in 1 John 2:29, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Now, Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, right? So again, baptism is part of it. But when you talk about, it says, and righteousness, all goodness and all righteousness, we're talking about more than just those things. This persistent application or exercise of doing righteousness, consistently done, is evidence that we are light in the Lord. You know, baptism is a one-time thing, isn't it? Tithing is something we do once a week, or I don't know, it depends on your paycheck or whatever. A lot of times, you know, it's something that people don't even know that we do. These are things that people see in us as we interact with them. But then it goes on to say, and truth. This is a reference to honesty. It's a reference to integrity, trustworthiness, and reliability. That's what we mean by truth. Are those elements present? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Or as we witness to others, we ask them, is this evident in your life? If it's not, and if we hear them cursing and doing all kinds of ungodliness, well, the Bible says this. This is the opposite. This truth is opposite of hypocrisy. It's opposite of deception and all the other ways of darkness. It's the opposite. Truth is. These elements of the fruit of the Holy Spirit must be evident, or a person is simply just not saved. Now, that's not popular. No matter how many outward things that a person has done. Did you know that if we tithe and we quote scripture and we fast and pray and attend religious services, we can still go to hell? Yes, he did those same things, the Pharisees. And Jesus said they're going to hell. They omitted the weightier matters of the law, mercy and righteousness. They omitted those things. They were all about these outward things. Again, Jesus says these ought ye to have done, right? He's not saying don't do them. He's simply saying, don't omit the weightier matters of the law. And so now verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We should be the best proof text of any Bible doctrine. Doesn't the Bible say we're living epistles of Christ that are read by people day by day? We're the best proof text that some people ever read, because they don't have a Bible or they don't read the Bible, but they see the Bible lived out in our lives when we exhibit these characteristics. Those characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit are such proof texts to prove to them, whether they accept it or not, that what we got is real. What we got is as different as the light is from the day, or a light is from the darkness. Proving what is acceptable. What does that mean? To test. To try as, or prove as with metals. What do they do with the metals? to try the metals. What do? They heat it up. And they heat it up at extreme temperatures. And what happens when that happens? If there are any impurities in that metal, it will rise to the top. And so this trying and proving, we prove, if they don't see any impurities come up, then they think, wow, this is for real. Sad to say, though, we see impurities come up, don't we, in our life. When we're put through the fiery trial, we just mess up. And those impurities come floating to the surface. Like I said, difficult times bring out the best and the worst in us. And when we don't have the armor of God, which we'll talk about in later, chapter 6, if we're not walking in the light as children of the light, then those impurities are going to come up. But by and large, for the child of God, there's going to be purity that people are going to see. We're not perfect, but by and large, overall, people are going to see those who are of us who are light in the Lord. It will be seen that it'll be proven by our walk that we are light in the Lord. It's a great proof to unbelievers. It's a great proof to our own selves that we are children of God. And it's a great encouragement to other brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe those who haven't come to some of the truths we've been privileged to know. They'll see not only what we say and the Bible verses we show and the way that we prove, but they will see the proof in our lives. And that will speak volumes. Because if they don't see that in lies, they think, there's nothing to what they're saying. Because look at the way they live. Look how easily they lose their temper. Look how easily this happens or that happens or whatever. Now, it says unto the Lord, doesn't it? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's the most important thing. What is acceptable to Him? There is what is actually acceptable unto Him. Those things that we just spoke of, that righteousness, right? That goodness, that truth. It's not of this world. The world doesn't operate that way. It is from another world. It is supernatural. Now, sometimes we get upset when the world scrutinizes us and looks narrowly upon us. Well, it shouldn't bother us, really. It shouldn't bother us. Because if we're shining in the light of Christ, we have a glorious opportunity to show forth Christ to them. Now, they may misrepresent it. They may do all kinds of things. But God's Word, when it's spoken and when it's lived out, will not return unto Him void. It says in Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We are children of light. We are light in the Lord. And I'm going to have to stop right here. But when we don't let anything shade the light, sin can shade the light, can't it? When we can just let the unadulterated light of God, the light of the glorious gospel, shine forth. You know what we do? For the child of God who's in proper fellowship with God, we brighten their day. We actually brighten their day. And that's
That's kind of like old Barnabas. He's a son of consolation. Now, whether they receive it or not that way, we have no control over that. We must simply shine forth and walk as those who are light in the Lord.